Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Tim Cyclesman Wood, editor of Cycles News and Views on cyclesman.com. He's speaking to us from Gulf Shores, Alabama. Welcome back to the show, Tim.
Jim, thanks for having me.
Tim, we have the markets had that big downturn a couple of weeks ago. Now they're back up into record territory. What does that tell us?
Well, I am surprised by the move to record territory. There were some things about that top that I didn't like, but there were some things about it that made me think that we had seen the top. This advance, like I said, I'm a little bit surprised by it, but it has not changed the fact that, yes, I think we're in the ballpark. I think we're in the topping process, and it's really a matter of the form now that this process is taking, or the structure is taking with this topping process. And It sometimes when you have a move like that, it can alter a cyclical count. I think we had an intermediate term low in early August instead of a breakdown. I mean, it was a breakdown out of an intermediate term top, and that decline did occur within the timing band for the low, but I thought the low was still ahead and that we were going to see more weakness from that point. But long story short, all I'm saying is it's a matter of the form that it's taking. I do think the process is underway. The next thing I'm looking for is, you know, we've been talking about interest rates and how this interest rate hiking cycle has been fabricated, but it is what it is nonetheless. And we've been in the plateau process now. This is in the last, going back into the 50s.
Where are we when it comes to interest rates?
Jim, we are at the top of this rate hiking cycle. This is looking back into the 50s. This is the fourth longest plateau period, if you will, of all of the rate hiking cycles, over the last 70 years or so, 60, 70 years. It's the second longest since the 2000 top. But that alone doesn't necessitate a rate cut, but based on the metrics that I have, I've said that we weren't there yet with as far as the first rate cut. We still aren't quite there yet, but I do think based on these metrics that we are in the zone. We're getting close. I don't know based on what I see right now to where we are to see a cut at this point would still be premature, but if rates continue to slide between now and the Fed meeting, I think it's in mid-September, you know, that could take care of itself. In other words, the metrics could be where they need to be to facilitate that cut or to justify that cut. But based on where we are right now, as we speak, it would be premature. But I do think, nonetheless, the rate cuts are coming, and that's part of the process of the setting up. It's possible that we could see an ending push when these rate cuts begin, but it's also very possible, and I thought that's what we were seeing back in July and early August, that the market had discounted, the rate cuts to be, but we'll see.
Now, people seem to be so excited about the prospect of rate cuts, but historically, don't rate cuts mean you're going into a recession?
Yes. Rate cuts typically are, people look at it as a good thing, but the rate cuts, we saw rate cuts, in conjunction with the 2000 top. We saw rate cuts in conjunction with the 07 top. We saw rate cuts in conjunction with the 2020 top. And you're right. I mean, the rate cuts are happening because there are problems that, underlying problems with the economy and it's pretty obvious that when the rate cuts come, there's a problem, and that's why they're doing the rate cuts.
Now, wasn't the whole idea of hiking the rates to bring inflation down? And they know, obviously, that when you do that, there's going to be economic trouble, businesses going bankrupt, people can't pay mortgages that had to be renewed. People lose jobs. The human cost is always there. They deliberately push it down. And until they see bodies in the street, the Fed isn't happy, is it?
Well, I apologize for being distracted. I got a guy on a cart outside spraying the lawn, and it's distracting as it can be. But yeah, they tell us that they did the rate hikes to fight inflation. But like we talked about before, this inflationary cycle began with the engineered supply chain issues. And from there, they started pushing the narrative that they had to raise rates to fight that inflation that was generated from those supply chain issues. And we also saw them working their magic with, trying to hold rates and jawbone rates up, and of course, what they did with the reverse repo operations. Because in 2001, early 2001, rates were about to go back below. I mean, we were at virtually, zero, but they were about to go back below the 2020 low, and they had to get rates up. So as I look at this, what in reality what they were doing was trying to reinflate, which they did via the inflation that was generated and the raising of rates.
Did they really have to raise interest rates to bring inflation down? If the problem
is raising to bring inflation down, it's the opposite. Everything is an illusion. It's the opposite. I know this sounds counterintuitive, but it's true. When you look at the data, you look under the hood and you look at the data, they were raising interest rates in order to be stimulative. It's the opposite of what people think. It's just a matter of overlaying a chart and looking at it. Rates, if you think about it, coming out of the 2002 low, yes, they cut rates going into the low, but as we turned up, they started raising rates. I mean, you can look at a chart. It's as simple as looking at a chart and looking at the direction of the markets, and it was stimulative. It's not what we have been told. The Fed is not there to fight inflation. They're there to create the inflation.
Would inflation have come down if the Fed had done nothing?
That was the problem. No. The system was trying to deflate, and that's what was happening in early 2021. When rates were trying to press back below that 2020 low, we were on the abyss of this thing collapsing from a much lower level. And when I say from a much lower level, I'm talking about with rates at zero. We were there. I mean, the risk at that point, no one realizes the risk the system faced. And it's like Christine Lagarde said. She said, see if I can remember the quote. She said, if inflation is the genie, then the ogre, or deflation is the ogre that must be fought decisively. And that's what they're doing. I mean, they're admitting it. They have to create the inflation. They have to create inflation. And they say it another way, like Richard Russell used to say, it's inflate or die. They have to create the inflation. And the debt-based fiat system relies on an ever increasingly expansion of debt. And that's what they were doing by raising rates and creating the inflation. They were inflating.
Right, because the cost of everything went up to pay higher interest rates. That's why, right, I always thought, hiking interest rates to fight inflation is counterintuitive, because my mortgage costs a whole lot more if you have a variable rate like we have in Canada. Running your business, if you have to borrow money to expand, that became much more expensive. How did raising interest rates actually help control inflation? What's the theory?
It did not. It did not. it created the inflation. I have matrices that go back that show, you know, and someone would have to, you know, have to look at the data. It's part of what people get when they, you know, subscribe to the material and look at this. But there are matrices that have proven themselves time and time and time and time and time again with each of the rate hiking and cutting cycles, and it fired in February of 21 and said, don't raise, and they raised. And it fired again and said, don't raise, and they raised. And it fired all the way up to the last hike in July of 23. The things kept telling, you know, or I say telling the Fed, it kept saying, don't raise. And so what I'm saying is this was a fabricated rate hiking cycle, in essence, to save the system from the brink of the collapse that we were facing in 2020 and early 21.
Now, going back to inflate or die, they've always said their goal is 2% inflation. Is inflation necessary at all?
Well, yes, it is, because the system, it's like you said, you know, you re-quoted the quote, inflate or die. They have to inflate or it dies. That is what the Fed has been fighting, you know, and I guess since the inception of the Fed, and certainly since we have been, were removed, I showed this in a letter emphatically, it's indisputable, since 1965 when we were unhinged from, you know, the silver dollar. So it started way before then, but it became obvious at that point. And then as you go through time, you can see and correlate the increase of, or the exponential expansion of debt to each one of the financial debacles throughout time. And you can see how each one of these instances has required more and more and more and more creation of debt, or an increasingly exponential amount of debt to keep the system going. And that's what we saw with COVID.
Now, we had a question from Robert. Are all assets headed south? And if they are, what will happen to interest rates? How does this conversation bear in relation to this question?
Well, interest rates, it's the battle. It's just like Christina Lagarde said. It's the inflationary genie versus the deflationary ogre, and they've been fighting the deflationary ogre. As long as they can continue to inflate, then you know we are where we are. Things will tread water. Gold will continue up. We'll continue to see the inflation that we've seen. I mean, think about it. It's real simple in one sense. Look what happened with COVID. We were about to deflate. Nobody knows that part. But we were about to deflate, and the COVID thing comes along. They pass all the stimulus. They do the things they did. We saw the I forget, 8-point-something trillion expansion in debt just under the Trump administration before he left office. And I don't even know what the numbers were when he left. But you know, now we're over $35 trillion. So we saw that expansion of debt. And what happened? We created the inflation that we have today. So that was, you know, inflate or die. And so once the deflationary ogre overcomes the inflationary genie, then the ogre is going to eat the genie. It's what the ogre does. And once they can't inflate anymore and they lose the battle, then it deflates. And you know, we're going to see a downturn in interest rates. We're seeing that set up. Everybody knows that. That puts us at a juncture where we could see that deflationary setup bite. And it'll be, in my world, it'll be the third attempted downturn out of this long-term economic cycle. The first attempted downturn was 07. And we know, everybody knows how bad that was. That was dubbed the worst financial crisis since the Great Depression. The second attempted downturn out of this long-term economic cycle was 2020, and this is going to be the third. So the question is, can they save it again? And if not, and the deflationary setup takes hold, and the ogre gets out from under his bridge or wherever it is he lives, then Yeah, I think this could very well be it, and we will see deflation pretty much across all asset classes, I think, and interest rates are going down because that's what they do in a deflationary environment.
We'll have more with Tim Cyclesman Wood right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Tim Cyclesman Wood. Tim, if deflation starts to take over, what's going to happen to things like gold and crude?
Well, crude oil has already been soft. I think that obviously with the inflation ongoing, or we've seen that has been positive for gold thus far. But if the inflationary setup bites, then I think we're going to see gold turn down just like everything else. And I believe that where we're headed is a major top in gold. We're not there yet, but I believe we're headed that direction. And like I said, I suspect that it'll set up in close proximity with the final top in equities. And then assuming that they can't reinflate, then I think gold is going to go down with everything else.
Gasoline prices are still relatively high compared to the price of crude. Is this just a case of the oil companies are making what profits they can now before the prices crash?
Well, I'm seeing gasoline prices in this area that are lower than I've seen them in a long time. I'm trying to remember last time I saw it. I paid $2.64 a gallon yesterday for gasoline. Mm. So, you know, I'm seeing gasoline prices come down here as oil prices have also come down. So, this area at least, gasoline prices are about where they should be in relation to what I see with the futures market and the price of crude. So I don't see a discrepancy here.
Yeah, see, Vancouver, it's hard to judge what's going on continent or in the U.S. and Canada wide, because we pay the highest gasoline prices in the world because we have so many extra taxes on it. They hate cars here. They absolutely abhor cars.
Yep. Well, $2.64 is about right based on the spot price of crude. So that's I see no discrepancy here.
Yeah. Well, I think we're under $2 a liter. That's still roughly $4 a gallon, I think. Or no, $8? $8 a gallon.
Yeah.
Yeah. We pay a lot for gasoline here. Now, with even though EV car sales have slowed in North America, they're still going gangbusters in China. China's the world's biggest oil consumer. Was their goal not to reduce air pollution, but just to lower their reliance on foreign oil?
I have no idea. That's outside of my wheelhouse. I have no idea what their plans were or what they were trying to do.
Of course, China encourages its citizens to smoke. During the Beijing Olympics, they didn't ask their athletes to stop smoking. They just told them to cut back.
And my theory on
Japan, the government has the monopoly on tobacco, and my theory is there in China and Japan is they want everyone to smoke, so you die just before you collect your pension.
So there you go.
Yeah. Except in the case of the Japanese, you get some cancer protection from drinking green tea. And, of course, green tea is a staple in Japan. Taking a look at the U.S. dollar, what's it going to do in this environment?
Well, I have been bearish on the dollar in the sense that it is moving into, in my world, there's a long-term cycle that is due by the end of the year. And then from that point, we should see the dollar rally hard as we move into this. You know, it's part of the setup with this deflationary environment that is trying to take form. The weakness I'm seeing in the dollar is not a surprise at all at this point. Like I said, there are cycles. We've been talking about it in the research letter for months, and that low is still ahead. Like I said, later this year from there, the dollar should have a solid foundation under it and be in a position to continue the overall uptrend that we've seen since the 2008 low. So, you know, longer term, I'm bullish on the dollar. Now, if we get to that point and we see something else, then obviously things will change. But at this point, in my opinion, the dollar has not changed. This is counter trend, and I think the longer term trend is up on the dollar as we move into that deflationary environment.
So overall, Tim, what's your outlook?
Overall, my outlook is, and I want to apologize, the guy's gone now. I couldn't hear myself think because there was a guy outside spraying, and it was so dang annoying. That was bad. But anyway, my outlook is, Jim, we're still dealing with this setup with this long-term economic cycle. And like I said, I know it sounds like a broken record, but it's like turning the battleship, I guess you would say. You know, the first attempted downturn was 07. The second attempted downturn was 2020, and here we are now. You know, the stimulus, the spending, the debt creation, however you want to look at it, it was created coming out of the COVID low. That's run its course. We're at the top of the rate hiking cycle. We're at a juncture for things to turn. We're facing the election, and, you know, I don't know how that's going to go. It doesn't matter. But it's all part of the higher degree picture setting up, and we're in that arena for that setup. I am a little bit surprised by this last push-up that we've seen here. I don't think it's long-term. I think it's, like I said, just a matter of the form that it's taking. And then digressing with my thoughts back together where I can hear myself think, you know, going back to this entire long-term economic cycle that was born out of the 02 low, it is deflation that the Fed has been fighting all along. If you just think about it with common sense, why did they do the things they did coming out of the 02 low? It was to inflate. Why did they do the things that they did coming out of the 09 low? It was to inflate. Why did they do the things coming out of the 2020 low that they did? It was to inflate. So each of these downturns have been deflationary in nature, and the Fed has responded with an inflationary response. And so here we sit again at a juncture where this last inflationary response has by and large run its course. The economy stinks, and you know, it all comes down to, are they going to be able to reinflate again? And at this point, I have my doubts. But at minimum, we're going to see the downturn for, you know, this third attempted, you know, or the third attempted downturn out of this this long-term economic cycle. And it's going to be what it's going to be. But it, the downturn is coming, and the setup is underway.
Tim, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
My guest has been Tim Cyclesman Wood, editor of Cycles News and Views on cyclesman.com. If you have any questions for Tim or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Find us on X at How Street. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.